The Los Angeles Rams are Super Bowl champions, champions of the 2021-22 NFL season. Matthew Stafford is a Super Bowl champion. Sean McVay is a Super Bowl champion. Aaron Donald is a Super Bowl champion. Blaine Didasco with me as always. Who else is a Super Bowl champion? Let me share some of the wealth.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp, Jalen Ramsey.
Super Bowl champions.
Sean McVay, yeah. Yeah, then, for better or worse, rookie Ben Skoronek, everybody, they all getting a ring.
Is DeSean Jackson getting a Super Bowl ring? I think maybe.
You know what? Yeah, maybe we gotta. You know, maybe he gets credit for clearing space for OBJ.
but we know for sure that yes, OBJ, a Super Bowl champion, tears in his eyes. Where were there not tears after the Rams pull out a victory and finish off a season that, you know, at 7-4, people had really started to leave the Rams, not for dead, but just starting to dance on the grave of a team that a lot of people had been rooting against, if not for years, then at least probably around the time the Rams started adding OBJ and Von Miller. People really were like, this team is trying to win. Screw them. And wouldn't you know it, you know, the Rams still had to go into the playoffs as the four seed. They still had to go on the road in the divisional round and beat Tom Brady. They still had to, you know, come back from behind in the fourth quarter against the San Francisco 49ers. And on Sunday, they come back from behind again in the fourth quarter to defeat Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. And sure enough, you know, as I said before the game, I thought the Rams deserved as much as the Bengals to be considered an underdog, because everyone was rooting against the Rams and the Bengals were being underrated, as we saw today, the way that they played and made this a contest. But ultimately, I think Matthew Stafford is just a fourth quarter king, and Cooper Kupp, a perfect complement to that. Blaine, watching this game today, did you feel that confidence at all in the fourth quarter? Just did you have an added sense of confidence because Stafford and the Rams did just do it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, absolutely. That right there, and the fact that this felt like deja vu from the NFC Championship game. I can tell you that certainly when it came down to the Rams needing one score and one stop, that was my chant, my mantra. The fourth quarter of the Niners game started to feel good at that point, because you got to. I mean, this is what Matthew Stafford was brought in for, what Aaron Donald is expected to do when it comes down to one score and one stop. So, again, here in the Super Bowl, came down to that scenario. You got to have faith, and sure enough, man, they did it. All the key players that were called out to do it got it done. And so, yeah, in the same fashion as the whole playoffs have been going, this one went all four quarters down to one score, one stop.
It's really interesting to think about where certain players are in certain legacies, milestones, hierarchies, tiers, all these words that people throw out there. But as far as the greatest wide receiver seasons of all time, Cooper Kupp, I mean, I don't know if I have to look it up. I don't know if I have to look to find out if there have been more than five better seasons, but I'm going to say pretty safely that this is one of the five best seasons a wide receiver has ever had, including every season by Jerry Rice. You know, you can probably find a couple seasons in there for Jerry Rice and go like, this season, you go like, yeah. And then you go Cooper Kupp in 2021, you go, yeah. And whoever it is, but so few guys. And really, I think at this point, Cooper Kupp is getting into not Jerry Rice territory, obviously, because of the longevity and the greatness that Rice had over two decades, and Cooper Kupp not nowhere near in that category. But just in terms of the season that he just had, you know, and then looking back at the career he had in college, it really makes more and more sense to think like, yeah, this is a very special player who had one of the greatest seasons of all time to win Offensive Player of the Year and Super Bowl MVP and a Super Bowl championship in the same year. But bad news was the injury to Odell Beckham Jr., which, of course, is just a reminder of the injury to Robert Woods. And at the second half of the game, Blaine, you had Cooper Kupp, and then you had Ben Skowronek and Van Jefferson, and you know, it just wasn't able to make those same plays or have those same chemistry between Stafford and those guys, and what Stafford had already developed with OBJ and what we knew he could have had with Robert Woods and what he has with Cooper Kupp. What are your thoughts there on how the Rams will have to move forward at the other wide receiver positions this season, knowing OBJ is a free agent, Robert Woods has torn his ACL, and, you know, will have a lot of cost wrapped up in him. But do you think that the Rams can and should keep both of those wide receivers alongside Kupp?
Well, I'll tell you what it means is, number one, thank goodness we got somebody as strong as Cooper Kupp as our number one. I think it's going to raise the expectations on Van Jefferson as, you know, potentially our number two. And then after that, it's good to know that, we're hoping to have either Robert Woods or OBJ back. I mean, before OBJ got injured, you know, some of us were fantasizing about having the foursome with Robert Woods and OBJ, you know, back, especially with the talk of Odell Beckham Jr. being okay with a pay cut to stick with the Rams. So, but otherwise, I think, first thing I think of is, you know, Van Jefferson has to keep evolving, and he should become that most likely number two. Although we love Robert Woods, OBJ has been great for us this season. I do look forward to Van Jefferson having a strong, continuing to ascend in his third season next year.
Yeah, you know, Van Jefferson's going to have to continue to develop and, you know, prove to be a more consistent play-to-play weapon and threat there for the Rams offense. Because obviously, clearly, you know, to be out here for the Rams, you got to be able to catch a lot of passes if you're going to play wide receiver. I can't imagine that Cooper Kupp is going to be so heavily utilized next season. You feel like when a guy gets 2,500 yards and no other receiver in history has had more than, you know, 2,000 over the course of regular and postseason, Cooper Kupp, he's had such a magnitude of plays and yards and all that went into this season. I'm sure he is exhausted. I'm sure that, you know, Matthew Stafford is exhausted. I'm sure Sean McVay and Aaron Donald are exhausted, which, you know, bring on these retirement rumors for both of them. Any thoughts to Aaron Donald at this point in his career and, you know, whether or not, you know, it's really something that he, you know, we can't speculate on whether or not he's considering retiring, do you think that it makes sense?
I mean, I tell you what, one of the most rare things and hardest things to do in sports is to go out on top, you know. So I think, like he said, I think we won't hear about it, at least for the next, you know, couple of weeks until we get into the off season. But I think there's a good chance that he'll be back. I mean, you know, fair to say that he might be, you know, this is, you know, he's peaking as far as his accomplishments. Might be getting to, you know, a bit past his prime or second half of his prime, but you know, he's done it all as far as accolades and accomplishments. It would make sense for him to retire because of everything he's accomplished, having now got that last piece with the Super Bowl championship. Sean McVay, on the other hand, here's the thing: I think that, you know, McVay and all this talk about him retiring early. You know, he's what, 34 years old. He's still one of the youngest coaches in the NFL. An NFL coach retiring early could mean that he's retiring in his 50s, and that's still considered retiring early. So, nonetheless, I don't think that I think we got a long road ahead of us with McVay. You know, he talks like a guy in his mid 30s about what else he's looking forward to in life, but he also talks a lot about how much he loves ball and all that makes him the coach that he is. And all the relationships that he still has and how much more he can accomplish. He's a competitive guy. And so he might not be content with just one Super Bowl win, although he's got his first one in the books.
If Aaron Donald does retire, or if there was any scenario in which Aaron Donald was not on the Rams, because I don't know, without Sean McVay, you can almost feel like, oh, well, so many of Sean McVay's people that have worked around Sean McVay and so many people in that same circle of the leagues are getting hired right now and doing well. And maybe you could keep everything else in cohesion if Sean McVay left. But how much worse does the defense get without Aaron Donald?
Well, I mean, a lot worse. I mean, in that, that's how great of a player he is. That's how impactful of a player he is. That you can't understate the loss that it would be when and if the Rams were to lose Aaron Donald. On the other hand, once you get over that, you can look at all the pieces that that the Rams will still have. I think the first two you think about are right there on the interior: Greg Gaines, A'shaun Robinson. Are still young, and they both had great seasons. They both had a great game tonight. So I think you can look forward to the next step. And I know you got to know that credit to Les Snead and the front office for putting this championship roster together. And they've been working on it for years, since 2016 or 2014 when they drafted Aaron Donald. So they're looking ahead. Aaron Donald is a once in a generation type of talent. So I think it'll be both a big loss, but at the same time, Les Snead is now a world champion general manager. Yeah. And he's thinking ahead, and, Greg Gaines and A'shaun Robinson are some solid pieces that we got on the roster right now.
It is true that the Rams are pretty, definitely stacked with Aaron Donald. Without Aaron Donald, I think there is quite a lot of good signs ahead. And I would even wonder, to what degree would Les Snead have been aware of a potential Aaron Donald retirement around 30 and people within the building. I just think that it is a little bit suspicious, as much as, I understood that when Michelle Tafoya asked Aaron Donald right after winning the Super Bowl, like, hey, are you going to retire?
Yeah.
That it seems like really right now. But I also just feel like there's no way NBC would have let her or anyone else get away with not asking the question. Because if Aaron Donald says yes, then you've got the quote of your career, maybe. If you get that story right then, and if maybe it was up to Aaron Donald, maybe Aaron Donald, there could have been a scenario where Aaron Donald, hears that question and goes, great, this is my moment to retire, go out on top, on top. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think the what is interesting is that he didn't just go, that's crazy. It means that there is something for him to consider, at least. And, there's a little bit of a interesting phrasing with Harrison saying that Aaron Donald would strongly consider retiring, which is not the same as deciding to retire. But I do think that because of the way that the world is right now, you can see a scenario where it's like a player like Aaron Donald, who is busting his ass and breaking, his body over and over again every day, because you don't get to that level without like an insane amount of commitment to this, that it's not that crazy to think of a guy walking away, because there's so much money to be made in other areas, so many places that you can grow and have a whole another second life, a second career after this. I mean, you can go anywhere from being like Deion Sanders and coaching your son in college and being a coach, or you can go be on TV like Tony Romo, or you can go start a whole media brand like Pat McAfee. There's so many things that you can do now in the secondary career that it's almost, look at Pat McAfee is making so much more money as a media guy than he did. And he's a different case because obviously Aaron Donald, is one of the highest paid players in the NFL, but still that he might be able to make more money doing something else. So I think early retirement might end up, quote unquote early, might end up being a little bit more common than expected. But Aaron Donald is so important to the Rams. I'm so happy that he has a championship now. It does feel kind of like a finishing move. It does feel like, okay, he's got that. I don't have any argument against Cooper Kupp for MVP, but I would have liked to see, I just think that for me, it would have been Aaron Donald, because he, just like the NFC Championship, he finished it off. Just like we know that he's the best player on the field. Obviously we don't want to take anything away from Kupp, but just what do you think about Aaron Donald and like his maybe case for MVP?
I agree with you that it could have easily been Aaron Donald and nobody would argue. But then also I think that that would have been the dagger right there. Should he, you know, the only reason to come back for him might be for to get that Super Bowl MVP. But yeah, you know, you're right that it does feel like a nice sort of end cap to Aaron Donald's season. Although, you know, we hate to see him go. We'd love to see more Aaron Donald. But it makes me think that, you know, the other thing that he's been through that he knows of is how hard it was to get here in the first place, you know, being through all those seasons with the Rams, even pre-McVay. So that might be something that weighs into his thought process, is just how hard it is to get to and then to get back to the championship game. So you're right. It's going to be an interesting, interesting move to see what happens next with Aaron Donald. Yeah.
Kind of a rough start for Jalen Ramsey. How did you think that he did in the second half? How do you think that he ended up finishing out his game in his season?
Well, I mean, I'm sure not like he would have wanted it to, having given up, you know, Tom Brady's last touchdown on him. Uh-huh. So I know that's not what he would have wanted, although he joked about it on Twitter and made light of it. So that was on a big stage. And then on this one, you know, I think, of course, it looked like a no call on the deep pass that he got beat on with Higgins grabbing his face mask there. Looked like it could have been, you know, one of these things where we might talk more about it if the Rams were to lose this game. But otherwise, yeah, I think that was, you know, the big play that anybody on the defense, you know, was hoping not to give up. But other than that, you knew it was going to be four quarter game. You knew that both sides were going to get their big plays. So I think the secondary in general, including Jalen Ramsey, did just enough to, you know, to make it a game and give the Rams the edge. So, I mean, Jamar Chase, you know, didn't have a touchdown in this game. And so I think mission accomplished on their part.
That's very true. You know, Jamar Chase showed off at times in this game why he is such an amazing receiver. And yet you're right, he did not score. And outside of that amazing catch that he made for 46 yep. yards, you know, kind of contained after that pretty much. It's funny because the Bengals season started off kind of with the draft and people talking about picking Chase over Penei Sewell and yep. avoiding offensive line. And the season ends. On one hand, the Bengals making the Super Bowl and you know, nearly winning it, but making the Super Bowl. And on the other hand, Joe Burrow sacked 7 times in this game. What were your thoughts on the Bengals and the way they played on Sunday?
I think, you know, I like their move. I mean, I think Jamar Chase had a great season. Will be one of the best receivers throughout his career. So I think it was a gamble on their part, much like the Rams decided not to draft offensive linemen. I think a gamble, but it worked out. You know, I think Zach Taylor mentioned, you know, it not being a factor, the fact that the LSU connection between Chase and Burrow. But to me, that's a huge factor. I mean, you get to see, you know, what they've done together. I don't mind it. I like it. I mean, you got to think that, again, people thought the Bengals are here early as far as how they're building their team over the next 2 seasons. They'll add to their offensive line, and I think they'll continue to be contenders. But I think Chase is one of these players where, just like Joe Burrow, you know, you got to grab them when they're available.
Yeah, you do. I mean, it was so hard to imagine the Bengals regretting getting Jamar Chase. I think we've proven that one thing is true, which is not only is the 2021 class, you know, having some really outstanding players right away, but the 2020 class, you know, as much as it's funny, because on one hand, I think first round picks, nothing could have been a better endorsement than the 2021 season. The way that the rookies played, the way that recent first round picks have played early in their careers, you're now getting incredible juice out of those young players on their rookie contracts, out of the first round with Joe Burrow and so on and so on, yada, yada, yada. On the other hand, the Rams just won the Super Bowl and they don't have any recent first round picks. They do have a lot of first round picks, guys like Odell Beckham Jr. and Von Miller, Matthew Stafford, guys that were drafted in the first round, but really repurposing them. The Rams won't be drafting in the first round the next 2 years again, Blaine. But I guess that at least they're sending over pick 32 this year. You know, it couldn't have gone literally any better for them. Right. What are you looking forward to next in the Rams offseason?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, you know, the Rams have been either, you know, scrutinized or at least, you know, been talked about as far as their team building strategy, right? Forget them picks, trading off these draft picks to bring in veteran guys. And so the big narrative has been or will be now that it worked. So to trade in these first round picks that are hit and miss. I mean, you know, I think the Las Vegas Raiders are a great example this season of, you know, really impressive how they made the playoffs, having gone through everything that they went through. But they had tough luck as far as, you know, what they got through the draft and how it all turned out. That's just tough luck. And whether you got a bust or whether things happen, the draft is a big gamble. So to Sean McVay's credit and to Les Snead's credit, you know, the philosophy for the Rams has been, with the veteran players, you know what you're getting. It's a lot less of a risk to bring in guys like Jalen Ramsey and Matthew Stafford for those picks. And, you know, in the end, it worked out. So looking, you know, now that we've got the championship and this part of the story is over, if this continues to be a winning team building strategy, then what next and how to sustain, how to sustain this competitive edge using this strategy? Do we continue to, you know, not pick in the first round? And or what next is really what intrigues me. How do you keep all these veteran players together is going to be what I'm interested to see.
Couple of strange performances on Sunday. Not necessarily in a bad way. Bryson Hopkins, 4 catches for 47 yards on 4 targets. He didn't do anything in the first 2 seasons of his career. He had 9 yards on 1 catch, a lot of healthy scratches. There was no option here. And one of the things that I think even I kind of, it's like there was so much thought about the Super Bowl, the Rams Super Bowl. I kind of forgot, you know, this whole time, no Tyler Higbee. So the Rams have to go into this with no Tyler Higbee, no Robert Woods, and then no Odell Beckham Jr. Totally different situation here for Matthew Stafford, which I think also kind of gets overlooked when we're talking about Super Bowl MVPs, which is that you got a quarterback here who, outside of those interceptions, you know, had a pretty good game, had 3 touchdowns, was playing with, you know, a 40-year-old left tackle, and, you know, he's, you know, his top 5 of his top 6, like, pass catching threats are out, and there's no running game. And here go the Rams, and they win the game. But what were your thoughts here on Bryson Hopkins? And because he had kind of a, you know, surprising performance here, as did another young player, Ernest Jones, coming in, making 7 tackles, a sack, 3 quarterback hits, a huge pass deflection. What were your thoughts on those guys?
I think Ernest Jones is going to be, you know, is going to be a stud. He is a stud. Glad that we got him back after the injury. So really, really excited about Ernest Jones. He's going to be great. Another way that, you know, I look forward to seeing how they rebuild and retool for whatever, you know, defensive players that we may lose. As far as the tight ends go, man, I think on the receiving end, Bryson Hopkins did good, you know, just like Blanton did, held his own as far as the receiving game goes. I think where you miss Tyler Higbee is in the run game, in the blocking scheme, in the blocking areas, I think is where Higbee is really a reliable piece. And I think that's the part where we were missing our number one tight end. But I'm glad these guys can at least catch passes.
Yeah, it was really, one of the big things that I think shows up time and time again is depth. And even though I think the Rams have gotten good injury luck throughout this season, because you have, you know, Stafford, Donald, Ramsey, I mean, cannot deny this, there's still those times when you have to go so far into the depth of what you've got. And the Rams, and in the Super Bowl especially, and even in the second half of the Super Bowl, you know, this is what, the Rams' 21st game of the season. There's a reason Sean McVay can't play any of his starters in the preseason. It's too many games, you know.
Right.
So So, you know, the depth plays a part here as it has often. And we saw how offensive line became an issue in the Super Bowl for the Super Bowl, the team that lost the Super Bowl once again, as it was with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs last year. And so they rebuilt the offensive line. What are your thoughts here on the future of the offensive line for the Rams? As, you know, as I mentioned, Andrew Whitworth is 40 and the Rams have to make decisions on Austin Corbett and Brian Allen and Joseph Noteboom, all of whom are free agents.
Yeah, I think it's, first of all, thank goodness for Andrew Whitworth. I think that's one of the biggest free agent pickups of the McVay era so far. Having brought in Whitworth and Robert Woods as his first free agents brought in, here being at this point, what a player to have on our team, just from both the tackle offensive line standpoint, from the leadership standpoint. I think he played a huge part in the whole path getting up to this point. Joe Noteboom, I think, has shown enough potential to be able to step up and be, you know, one of the sort of the next phase players on our offensive line. Outside of that, you know, I think our offensive line has played well at times, but I think it's going to be, you know, a good time to sort of assess where we're at and sort of give a good overall assessment of all phases and all areas of our offensive line to see, you know, where we want to go. Where we might want to find new guys, but credit to Brian Allen for a good season. And but otherwise, you know, I think that's one area where we look at to reassess and see, you know, if we're going to make some moves and for the next phase.
What when the Rams traded for Matthew Stafford, how likely did you think today was?
That's a great question. I mean, I think it was. I want to say that I expected Matthew Stafford to get a Super Bowl within the first two or three years. You know, if he were to get that long, and I think he's on a 2 year, he had 2 years left on the contract when we traded mm-hmm. for him. You know, I want to say I was more confident that he would get one in the first two or three years with the Rams than this first year. You know, of course, we were hopeful. I thought he had a chance. I thought this was his best chance, given the players around him. But also at the time that we got Stafford, you know, we didn't have Von Miller. We didn't have Odell Beckham Jr. So throughout the season, to see how aggressive the front office remained to get those additional players, you know, when you get Von Miller and Odell Beckham, now the expectations go higher. And so I felt a lot more confident when that happened. But things like Akers going down in the preseason kind of shook that confidence. But otherwise, yeah, I thought it was a lot more likely. I did expect it to happen within two or three years of the trade, more so than I did this season.
Yeah, it's really crazy. You know, think about it and where the Rams were at the Packers' loss last season, when you started looking at who played in the Super Bowl and the roles that they played. I mean, when you make the Matthew Stafford move, it's almost like you're saying we have this and we're one quarterback away from that. And that's what people almost think is like, oh, when the Rams traded for Matthew Stafford, it's like they think that they're just a quarterback away. And maybe they are, you know, kind of a speculation. But then everyone that was added after Matthew Stafford, Ernest Jones added in the draft after Matthew Stafford, Von Miller added after Matthew Stafford. You've got obviously Odell Beckham Jr. added after Matthew Stafford. You've got Sony Michel added after Matthew Stafford. You've got Ben Skowronek and, you know, and then you've got even the guys that we didn't really even know to what degree that they would be helpful, like A'shaun Robinson and Greg Gaines and Nick Scott, and seeing some of the guys step up in the playoffs and Brandon Powell. And you're looking at it around and it's like the Rams, it's not that the Rams were just, you know, necessarily thinking, hey, we just need Matthew Stafford and it's over, because clearly, you know, I don't think that the Rams win the Super Bowl without Von Miller in these playoffs, you know, the totality of those four games. And that was a guy who a lot of people thought it was crazy to trade a day two picks for at the time. And now it's like, what team wouldn't give up day two picks for Von Miller? What team wouldn't have gone above and beyond to pitch Odell Beckham Jr. to come to their team? And it wasn't that common of a thing to do. So, you know, Les Snead is a guy that he's really interestingly in the last few years gone from this guy who just made a lot of bold moves to now one who has to be considered, you know, one of the best executives of his era, you know.
Yep.
two Super Bowls with totally different rosters, practically rebuilding from being the worst team into becoming one to make two Super Bowls in 4 years, and to really fulfill Sean McVay's vision and to share a vision with Sean McVay and to see Sean McVay's vision when he was hired in 2017, to see the way that the rest of the league has sort of blossomed out of what the Rams have created here with Brad Holmes as the GM in Detroit and with all of the coaches in Green Bay and Cincinnati and now Minnesota, which, by the way, you know, the Rams are about to overhaul the coaching staff once again. Do you have any early thoughts perhaps on who is going to be the next offensive coordinator and who might be some other coaches to watch on the Rams?
Let's see. I'm drawing a blank right now on who's out there, but
to be honest, they changed so much.
Yeah.
Because Wes Phillips would have been a guy that you would think he slots in maybe after Kevin O'Connell, but Kevin O'Connell apparently is taking Wes Phillips. Aviro is going over to be the defensive coordinator for the Broncos. It's almost like, you know, looking at it from one perspective, I don't know, like, to what degree do you think Sean McVay is the mastermind of everything that has gone into, you know, the Rams from a coaching point of view?
Well, I mean, you know, you got this Super Bowl is a big credit to, you know, what he's contributed to the league overall. I mean, not only like his scheme, but, you know, we see Zach Taylor coaching against him in the Super Bowl here, even though, you know, Zach Taylor's had a good career before and after McVay, and then Matt LaFleur continues to be competitive. So I think for sure, I think he's got a good program here. And but he also, like he says, he draws from his assistants as much as he gives to his assistants. So I think it goes both ways. I mean, this Sean McVay tree is seems like a result of, you know, what these coaches are gaining from Sean McVay, but also McVay's ability to hire these coaches who are going to be head coach worthy at some point, whether or not they come to the Rams. So I think, you know, you got to have a lot of confidence in Les Snead or mainly Sean McVay to continue to replace and retool his coaching staff like he's been doing. So whoever that next offensive coordinator is going to be, again, I think putting into the system, we trust McVay to put the right guys in the right place, and no matter how long they might be with the team.
How does it feel, man? How do you feel? How does it feel now, you know, if we're wrapping this up, you know, the Rams were just less than 2 hours from the Rams winning the Super Bowl. You know, we've been doing these podcasts week in and week out, and obviously writing for much longer before that. And you know, you've been putting up those pieces every single day and for the Turf Showtimes community and going through so many stories all season long. How does it feel to culminate here with a Super Bowl championship for Aaron Donald and for the rest of these Rams?
Really unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. I mean, I can tell you that I've been a sports fan, a football fan all my life. Became, you know, really a LA Rams fan. Going to all these games, almost every home game since 2016, since they came back. And so, you know, I was there every game, starting with that first Jeff Fisher season. And so especially, you know, as I'm learning about the team and getting on board with Fisher, you know, I could see that it wasn't going to be easy and might be a while until we get one of these things. man, really, really unbelievable the way this season has come together. And for it to happen again on this first year that we get Matthew Stafford, sort of this first season of this new phase. Again, I can tell you, I thought a lot more about it happening in a 2 or 3 year window, but still pretty unbelievable that it culminated, especially the way the game went down. Man, I can't believe that we pulled it out just like that, even though, of course, we did, right? I can't believe it.
Yeah, man, to make the Super Bowl in the third year of being in Los Angeles and then to go back so soon afterwards, after, you know, really making a few errors in the draft and with some contracts and feeling like, oh, okay, maybe you overthought this one, or you overcorrected here, or you had overconfidence in this player's ability to stay healthy. And, you know, it's phenomenal that the Rams have now secured a Super Bowl championship in Los Angeles, the first LA Rams championship ever. The first time, or Super Bowl championship, I should say, it's the first they've had championships, NFL championships prior to the Super Bowl era. And the LA Raiders had a Super Bowl championship, but the first LA Rams Super Bowl championship and the first Super Bowl in SoFi Stadium is won by the Los Angeles Rams and Matthew Stafford, who goes 4-0 in his first playoffs outside of Detroit. His legacy clearly changing at this point in front of our very eyes. Von Miller, you know, I think remarkable, 3 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowl championships with different teams, and playing a huge role in both of those playoffs. It's going to speak volumes for his legacy and his place in the Hall of Fame one day. Obviously, Aaron Donald is going to the Hall of Fame. He's a 4-time Defensive Player of the Year and a Super Bowl championship. Thought he could have won Super Bowl MVP, and nobody would have disagreed with that. One of the greatest defensive players of all time. Jalen Ramsey, one of the top defensive players in the NFL, if not the best defensive back, now a Super Bowl champion. It's incredible to see all of these guys over and over. Yeah, Eric Weddle and Andrew Whitworth, and, you know, Rob Havenstein, one of the longest tenured Rams. Johnny Hecker, one of the longest tenured Rams. Obviously, to have Sean McVay, he's really secured his legacy. And if he does retire in 2 or 3 years, he could definitely retire and have a huge media career, because, you know, people love hearing this guy and watching this guy talk about football. And now he's a Super Bowl champion. And Blaine, I am so, you know, happy for somebody who's been going to these games since 2016 to see this happen in year 5. It's really remarkable that the Rams, you know, really stuck to Stan Kroenke's vision of creating a worldwide entertainment team, and brought in some of the best players to watch, some of the best players to root for. Cooper Kupp, one of the greatest seasons of all time, won the Jerry Rice Award in college, and, you know, has had a Jerry Rice like season with the Rams. And I know Jerry Rice is looking at him going, damn. And so it's something really remarkable to watch, and it's been a pleasure for me to get to be a part of it. And I'm just blown away with the way that the Rams have played and the way that they have approached football. I'm impressed day after day after day. I really love these players. I love covering these players. I don't have any regrets about any of them. You know, there's nothing that you have to be worried about with any of, you know, I felt positively about Odell Beckham Jr. And I didn't really, you know, think that all the locker room stories were true just based on some of the context. And so I'm just rambling at this point. Maybe I just feel so great about the way that the Rams finished out this season. Matthew Stafford, you know, a guy that I felt could win a Super Bowl from the time he was traded to the Rams, just like you, Blaine, and he did it so soon. I thought that it definitely could happen. And yet you never know. And obviously there's a lot of luck involved. So the Rams managed to get through this, win these last 2 fourth quarters, hold off Tom Brady in the same play. You know, what a insane playoffs. So the Rams are Super Bowl champions. Blaine, any final thoughts here? Any players on the Rams maybe that I've overlooked as far as the role that they played in getting this championship? Anything else you'd like to say before we go?
Huge shout out to Rams Nation, Rams fans, for everybody's listening to this, and everybody that's like me that's taken in this team and jumped on board as soon as the Rams came home, but especially for all those Rams fans that have been Rams fans for much longer than that, the St. Louis guys, the old LA guys, congrats to the Rams fans, man. You know love the Ramley. Again, we've been through some stuff, I'm happy for the team, of course, the coaches, the players, all of them. Huge shout out for the Rams sticking with their team and supporting the team, going out to the games like I did. Huge shout out to them. Congratulations to everybody in the Rams Nation.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams, truly one of the most historic, storied franchises in football history. You know, it's not just hyperbole. This is a team that has won Super Bowls in multiple cities, you know, for whatever that's worth. I know that some teams, you know, there is a lot of moving around, but at the same time, bringing football to the West Coast for the first time when they moved in the 40s from Cleveland, winning championships in the 50s, some of the great teams in Los Angeles, some of the great things that the Rams represented, becoming the first team to desegregate and integrate Black players back into the NFL after so many wrong years of not doing that. And, you know, having all of the Super Bowl memories from 99 and the Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk and some and Orlando Pace and just so many legendary players that have played for the Rams, and to win a Super Bowl in Los Angeles at home is really remarkable. So that's it. Super Bowl 56 champions are the Los Angeles Rams. Follow Blaine Didasco on Twitter at Blaine Didasco. Every week we've been coming to you after the games for an instant reaction podcast. And almost every week the Rams were winners, and they are winners in every single playoff game, and including tonight in the Super Bowl. And it's going to be fascinating to see how the Rams now approach this next season and try to repeat as Super Bowl champions. We'll keep you up to date here as far as what happens with Aaron Donald, Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay, and everyone else in this what's sure to be another wild off season. So that's it. Hit subscribe on Turf Show Times, the podcast, and we'll be back with you next time for another episode about the Rams.